This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dungeon Born by Dakota Kraut, narrated by Vikas Adam. Prologue. They laughed when they murdered me. Laughed! Their squeals of delight were sickening as they reveled in the blood pouring from the jagged knife wounds spread across my chest. These disgusting people, I use the term people with trepidation, were obviously disdainful of all living beings. They killed me just for... odd. This was strange. I couldn't remember why they killed me. Who were they? Matter of fact, everything was starting to become hard to remember.
Oh, no, you don't.
The nasal, phlegmy voice of one of the assailants shattered the silence. He loomed over the broken, tortured body I was fleeing.
Dying won't let you off the hook. Stealing from me was the worst decision you ever made. Now you will serve me. Beg me!
He screamed, spittle flying. His mood shifted abruptly as madmen were prone
to free you because of your own stupidity!
A smile was back on his face, though his eyes were manic and unfocused. With his declaration and an arcane gesture, pain shattered my confused senses. Pain more traumatizing than my recent death by repeated stabbing. I found myself being forcefully drawn toward a tiny gem in his hand. I screamed as only a tortured soul is able, albeit silently to the human ear. I imploded into the small gem, which gleamed brighter by the second. The agony became more intense, interrupting all rational thought until all I knew was torment. With a final gasp of pain, I was firmly embedded in the glowing gemstone.
Welcome to your eternity, thief,
the malicious voice spit at me. Then he coughed at me, spitting again. Wait, spit wasn't red? With an unexpected spasm of his hand, I found myself slipping the surly bonds of earth, that is, I found myself flying. Bizarrely, I could see everything around me, 360 degrees in perfect detail. We were in a mountain range, with a beautiful and lush forest surrounding the base. The air had a stiff, crisp breeze flowing through it. The sun poured across the landscape with properties more befitting of viscous honey. One other detail stood out as I reached the apex of my flight. A group of people in armor which blazed with the reflection of the sun were walking toward black-clad bodies now sprawled in ignoble poses.
"Filthy necromancers!"
the largest, shiniest man roared, distaste evident in every motion he made.
"Make sure to burn their rotten corpses and everything they have with them. It is sure to be tainted by the infernal."
He glanced to where a, somehow familiar, body lay broken and covered with blood and filth.
"Poor bastard. I'm sorry we weren't fast enough to save you,"
he managed to say brokenly, keeping his voice low in an attempt to preserve morale in his followers. Mixed emotions skittered across his face before finally settling on anger. He then turned and began barking orders, the last I saw of his group before slipping over the edge of a crevasse, falling deep into the earth. There was one final hole in the wall, where I got my last glance of the wide world for a long, long time. Gorgeous. It truly was too beautiful of a day to die. 1. I fell for an extremely long time, rock blurring past me as my fall increased in speed. dropping too long, really, as I was worried I would shatter when I landed. This was a serious concern for me momentarily. Then, some shiny rock distracted me, light sparkling off of it as I passed. Pretty. Is my mental state deteriorating? Ooh, that sparkle was red. The fall was probably only a few hundred feet, but since I was so tiny, it felt like miles, like hours to my distracted thoughts.
Bloop.
I landed in a puddle. Rejoicing at the good fortune that had saved me from shattering when I landed, I realized that I couldn't remember why I was falling in the first place. I had fallen, right? I tried to think back, but hadn't I always been in this puddle, on this stone? Rocks don't move around, do we? Well, I was rather cozy here. Nothing to worry about now, at least. Filthy necromancers. Necromancers? I hated necromancers! Where had that thought come from? I clung to it, trying to ensure that I would remember this. The thought wrapped around me, becoming one of my mental pillars, a foundation for my thoughts. Knowing I would remember my hatred for... necromancers. Right. What the heck is a necromancer? I don't really care, I suppose, but... Oh, boy, do I hate them! I finally looked around myself, trying to describe for my fleeting sanity how things looked. I didn't really have words for things, but the names of them kept popping into my head. Rock. More rock. Water. Head? What? Where am I? What am I? Oh, yeah, I'm a gem! A beautiful shining gem. Blue light appeared around me at the thought. Actually, it was coming from me. Am I a light stone? The water surrounding me began to absorb the light and, over time, became brighter. This took hours. Days? The natural light that managed to filter down to me came and went many times. Does that help? Does that mean anything? Remembering is hard. I eventually gave up trying. Time slipped by, and even the lingering remnants of memories faded, vanishing until I was near thoughtless as a babe. My mind became small and unconcerned with anything outside of my life from moment to moment. The water I was in froze and melted several times. When it froze, it seemed like forever until it warmed up again. That was never fun. One day I noticed that the puddle I was in had slowly shrunk as temperature increased, but now water was coming down from above and refilling it. This made me really happy. That is a good thing, I think, having my puddle full. I like my puddle. But now it is getting too full? This had never happened before. My puddle was about to spill. Oh no, would that ruin it? Drip. A final drop hit, and the puddle spilled over its stony boundary, pouring down the sides of what turned out to be a hollow stalagmite. Water must have taken the core of this rock and hollowed it out before I got here. Something was happening, something odd? Not bad, I don't think, but certainly odd. I was at the bottom of the small puddle in my rock, and whereas previously I could only see in a direct line of sight around me, I could now see everything where the water had overflowed to. Neat! More than see, actually. I could sense everything in that area perfectly, as if all of my senses were attuned to the space around me. I tasted the salty stone, smelled the earthy fragrance, saw every flaw and nuance of the stone, and heard echoes of falling water. The perception only went as far as the water had drained, so it wasn't true sight or hearing or... But really, it was... better. More fulfilling and satisfying somehow. For some reason, I also really began to understand the rock I was on. After all, now I knew the word stalagmite. I also knew it was made out of limestone, mostly calcium carbonate.
Fun new words!
Even when the water that had spilled eventually dried up, my perception of the area remained. What was that? There was a dark, earthy color moving through the rock, wriggling in set sequences like a worm moves through dirt. I reflexively reached out and touched it with my mind, and little sparkles of it pulled away from the stone and drifted toward me. What was this? How did it follow my mind? It kept coming closer, now of its own accord. In an act of defiance, when the dark color touched my crystalline surface, I grabbed it and pulled it in, absorbing it. Shock rippled through my being. It was amazing. The most delicious thing I had ever eaten in my life. To be fair, the only thing I had eaten in my life. I wanted more. I tried to reach out to that brown energy again, but it kept slipping away before I could touch it again. Was it mad at me? I kept trying again and again, but I got so tired. Refocusing on myself again, moving in disappointment, I looked at the energy I had absorbed. I ate what I could, savoring every bit while the light within slowly faded away until there was only a filthy brackish brown color remaining. Trying to eat this as well, I found it tasted horrendous, like roasted turds. Disgusted, I tried to spit it out, and surprisingly, it quickly streamed out of me and floated back to the rock around me, which drank it in like rainwater falling on desert sands. Wait a sec. What is a desert? Meh. What was I thinking about? I forget. There is food to be eaten. Hopefully I could get more. Surprised at how quickly the brackish energy vanished, I watched as the brown energy in the rocks returned to a normal look, and the clean energy seemed to wave at me again. I tried to reach out, and success! I was able to make a few more sparkles flow toward me. A little more than last time, too! Was that the secret? I just had to return the waste, then it would like me again? The energy I had already absorbed was pure white, slowly gaining color toward my normal blue. Taking in the brown energy, I really focused on what I was doing this time, instead of just eating as quickly as I could. I was actually pulling the white energy from the brown, separating the two until only a dull brown color remained. Spitting out the filthy-tasting remainder, I again pulled the earth-colored light from the stone around me, continuing for a time I didn't know how to count. Rain came infrequently. Every time it did, the depth of my vision, my knowledge of the surrounding world, increased. Each stone the water washed over increased my knowledge. Soon, I could tell you the names of everything in reach and their properties. For instance, I knew just how much energy they contained, allowing me to calculate the sustenance I would be able to draw from them. I knew what they were made of, how tightly bonded they were, their density, and which of them would float. None of them. From this knowledge, I found more efficient ways of eating. Pulling the brown stuff from sand released almost no energy, while more dense stones like quartz gave off larger amounts, so I made sure to focus on them. During a powerful rainstorm, my knowledge of the world suddenly and drastically changed. The water had come again, and I was happy that I would be able to see farther soon. As my puddle finally overflowed, more rocks appeared to me, but the water also sloshed over moss. Moss. I suddenly knew everything there was to know about it. How you could grind it up and put it on shallow cuts to help wounds recover. How it grew with abundance when it had access to water and space. But most importantly, that it was alive. The life in it sang to me, tantalizing my senses with the knowledge that there was so much to learn and taste. In simple astonishment, I realized a new color was suddenly visible to me. Green. What a beautiful, vibrant color this tiny plant exuded. I stretched my mind over to caress this unknown, gorgeous emerald light when it suddenly reached back. Shocked, I pulled away, and the light returned to the moss, seamlessly reintegrating with itself. Tentatively, and with great trepidation, I reached out again.
So did the light!
Connecting with it, the contained energy flowed toward me, similarly to the way the brown energy moved, though much faster and far more powerfully. I drank it in, then began to eat it. The most crisp, flavorful salad in the world would not compare to the pure, delicious energy this small plant willingly gave to me. I gorged myself, eating so fast I would have choked if I were able. Unlike the stone, the green energy just kept coming, and I ate it until there was no more light coming in. Just as I thought it was over, a massive burst of energy flew into me, so much that I nearly shattered. Terrified, I quickly absorbed the energy, simultaneously releasing the waste to return. When I finally had processed everything, I was full. Something that had never happened as far as I had been alive. Also, I had made a pun. Another first for me. I looked back at the moss and was horrifically shocked at what I saw. It was no longer vibrant and living. It was crumbling before my eyes, turning to dust. I was disgusted with myself that I had killed it. Not the death itself, which was just a natural part of life, but the fact that I could no longer pull the yummy food to myself. Ruminating over the loss of this huge source of mouth-watering energy, I quickly brightened when I noticed that behind it there was a veritable carpet of this stuff, growing across the floor of this crevasse. I returned to the brown energy, slightly disappointed now by how hard it was to keep forcefully pulling it to myself. Hungrily, I waited for the rain to come again, so I could reach that tasty, tasty treat just out of my reach.
"Hello, little dungeon." A measured, powerful voice reverberated in my mind.
"What? Who? How?"
I looked at everything I could see, but there was nothing around me.
"I am Cantor," the voice continued.
"What is a Cantor?"
I panicked a bit. A potential threat could find me, but I could not see it.
"Ha. So much to learn, and we have but moments. I wish I could explain all to you, but already the wind moves me along. I must go as the wind takes me, and the air is turbulent in recent times. I digress. Youngling, do you know what you are?" The words Cantor gave me reverberated in my mind like a clarion call, so full of power that I was afraid I would be killed by his speech, let alone whatever he could bring to bear against me.
I'm a gem. I'm shiny.
I was unsure of how to answer. Cantor's words were confusing, intricate, and hard to understand.
"While technically true, you are much more. You are a dungeon core, a beast core that has gained the first level of its own sentience and has realized the consequences of life and death. This awareness is why you are able to hear me now, though I have whispered for weeks. Already, I reach the furthest range of my ability to communicate."
He spoke, sadness tinging his grand voice.
"Sentience?"
I questioned, trying out the word.
"It means you are aware, young one. It means that you understand that things beyond yourself are alive. Also, it means that you want food, knowledge, power. To stay alive, you can now think of the future and make small plans, retaining memories of your own."
I realized this was true. I did want things. I wanted to be alive. I remembered that I planned on eating the moss just out of reach.
"Good. You understand."
Cantor seemed satisfied.
To allay your concerns, I am not right next to you, little one. We are communicating with mind speech. This allows us to bypass the limitations of our bodies in order to talk to those we wish. I have no wish to hurt you, but to help you become smarter and stronger. Although, before I explain too much further, you must satisfy my curiosity. What color are you? Cantor probed me far too casually.
Color? I'm...
A word popped into my head from somewhere deep in my mind, as well as hundreds of subtle variations.
Blue? Mind speech?
Blue? Good. Good. Yes, small one. Mind speech. To talk to someone, all you need to do is intentionally send your thoughts to them. You can send words, pictures, ideas. Whatever thoughts you have, you can gift to another. Attention I did not realize before seemed to vanish from Cantor's voice. I am going to help you, tiny one. I am moving along, and it will be a long time before you hear from another of your own kind. I wish I could do more, but it would do more damage than good. If fates are kind, I will speak to you again some day. He paused, thinking. I feared he had disappeared when his voice sounded again. To survive, you will need assistance. I am going to send you a helper. This is the absolute limit of what I can do for you currently. I wish it weren't so. Please don't absorb her. Her mother would be furious with me.
He joked? I think?
Cantor's voice was fading, becoming more strained as he worked to speak with me.
I don't understand, but thank you, Cantor!
I cried out, desperate to continue hearing another voice in the darkness. Best of luck. I could feel the satisfaction flowing from him.
2. I wonder what kind of help he was sending me. This thought occupied my mind for a spare moment until my hungry gaze returned to the feast of moss waiting just out of reach. Soon, my scrumptious ones, I thought to myself, chuckling with a slightly maniacal undertone.
Wait, you're not evil, are you?
A voice questioned me.
What is evil? Wait, what are you? Where are you?
I glanced around. Two voices in the same day?
We'll talk about evil later. Much later. I'm above you, making sure you don't try to eat me.
The voice called, echoing slightly, making it hard to pinpoint the exact location it came from.
Why? Are you delicious?
I could go for a snack, I supposed.
No! Nope! Not even slightly tasty. I'm a wisp, as in Will of the...
The echoing voice assured me.
What is Will?
I was a bit disappointed.
The voice sounded tasty. Oh boy.
Now that just sounded condescending.
You really are a newborn, aren't you?
What is...
I was cut off as I began speaking.
Yeah, got it. You don't know too many words.
Really? I had no idea what to say to that.
Here is the deal. We are going to make a pact, a bond. This is more than an agreement. It is a sharing of power. You need help and knowledge and a friend to keep you from going insane. That can be me, if you will allow it.
Now, Coy, the voice seemed to be trying to seduce me with gifts.
I do like gifts, I guess. Really, who doesn't? I was about to answer when it spoke again.
You have to agree to give me protection and essence. In return, I will do everything I can to make you strong and prosperous. If you die, so do I, because nothing else can give me the essence I need to survive.
Seemingly frustrated, the voice was talking faster and faster.
Please, slow down. Can you just answer a quick question? It's just... why do I need you?
I thought it was a fair question. I was doing fine on my own.
I promise you that it will be worth it. Besides that, Kantor is too far away for me to return to, and no one else is coming to help, or would even want to.
She guaranteed.
Well, when you put it like that, and Kantor sent you...
I trailed off. I really did not want to let down Kantor.
Sounds good. Teach me those big words, and it's a deal. I don't know how to do all the things you want, but if you teach me, I am... amenable.
I could already feel my intellect growing, just being in her presence.
I was proud of that new word. Amenable meant that I was agreeable to the situation. I think.
Yes.
Whatever. The voice was talking again.
Deal. Here I come.
A bright ball of softly glowing pink energy resolved itself from behind a stone outcropping that had been blocking my view.
Hello, tiny dungeon. I am Danny. Do you have a name yet?
Not that I know of. What does a name look like? I knew that everything around me had a name, but I thought a name was just part of what a thing was.
Wait, was my name Jem then?
I was about to ask, but...
Well then,
she blatantly ignored my question.
Since you are surrounded by calcium, I hereby name you Cal.
I like it.
I shone brighter for a moment to show my happiness.
I had a name. A real name, not a description. I suddenly knew the difference. I felt like I was shaking in excitement.
Actually, I was shaking?
Vibrating, really. The water around me moving enough to splash. What's happening?
I was so startled that I even stopped eating the brown energy for a moment.
Looks like I got here just in time. Quick, Cal, repeat after me. By the agreement we have made, I become your bonded partner.
With that pronouncement and a resounding splash, Danny came down and entered my puddle. I followed her instructions, repeating her word for word. As I did, a beam of blue light shot out of me and a beam of pink from her. As they touched, they fused into a beautiful light, which traveled along a shimmering path in the air that connected both of us. The fused pink-blue light entered her, filling her with light and energy. A blue blot formed in her body, surrounded by her natural pink coloration. Now the glow coming off of her was a light purple, and far more intense, lighting up the air around her. The beam entered me as well, and I became a darker blue. Nearly violet. I lost a lot of energy, the vibration subsiding as the link was formed.
What was that?
I asked offhandedly, far less tense now. I was pretty hungry again. She had entered my pool, and just like when my water washed over the rocks, now I knew everything about pink will-o'-the-wisps. I still didn't know the knowledge she contained, the experiences she had lived through. I hoped she would tell me stories. Is it important that I only know about pink wisps?
Are there more colors? Do they do different things?
Oops, I hear Danny talking again. I guess I'll have to save my questions for another time.
That was us joining, forming a bond. I can't believe you came so close to self-destructing. Have you never used your essence before?
Danny's color darkened with her being cross.
Would you mind answering another question? What is essence? Seriously, she is just a deep well of knowledge, isn't she? So full of words and meanings.
Really? Well, maybe that explains why I am purple now.
She blew out a long sigh.
Essence is... complicated. The real name of it is quintessence. But that is a mouthful, so it is usually shortened. It is the fundamental energy of the universe, the pure power of heavens and earth that is used by the basic elements to become everything. Rocks turn it into earth essence, water into water essence, though both are impure forms. Cultivating is the process of absorbing essence from the heaven and the earth around you. It is a part of all things, and all things are a part of it. The purer you can refine it, the closer it becomes to the true form of essence.
She quieted for a moment, overcome by some faraway memory.
Also, if the accumulated essence you have is the purest possible, it is better for the both of us. It will make us stronger, healthier, and smarter. The essence you are holding is really pure, so you must have cultivated all you could from that water before refining it, until it became too dense for your core. Good job so far.
She ended the topic on a cheerful note.
From the water?
What the heck?
There is essence in my puddle?
Yes, you are a blue core, so you cultivate essence from water.
She explained, almost condescendingly.
I can do that? I've never pulled from water before.
I was inspecting the water for food, but only saw my light. She appeared to be trying to speak.
What?
Was she in pain? Did I do something to her?
Then where did you pull essence from?
She was really demanding. Was this bond really worth this scrutiny?
Everything I've been able to touch so far, except you, since you told me you weren't tasty,
I reassured her. She seemed to be getting worked up.
That shouldn't be possible. At this level, you can only cultivate from the element you are attuned to. Show me?
She forced herself to ask politely. I was hungry. The joining had drained a lot of my energy, at least as much as the moss had given me. The moss! I was mentally drooling as I thought of the exquisite food. Essence that it contained.
I'd be happy to, but I can't reach the moss over there anymore.
I seemed pathetic, I guess, because she laughed and scooped up some of the water I was in. She didn't have limbs, so this impressed me an inordinate amount.
The moss, huh? Sure.
She flew over to the moss, and instead of pouring the water onto it, she blew it over all of the moss as a mist.
Ah!
I exclaimed, my vision exploding outward. I had never before been able to see so much more at one time. With a gentle sprinkling, she had more than tripled the area I could see. The information gained from all of these new things was nearly overwhelming.
What?
She yelped.
Did I hurt you?
No. It's just, I can see so much more. It is so beautiful. I had wanted to have access to more area after all. I didn't realize that it could be done so quickly. That was the only issue, and it just startled me a bit.
My mind was distracted with sorting through all of the new things I had learned.
Oh,
she sighed softly.
You scared me there.
You have already proven that I made a good deal bonding with you. Thank you.
I was really happy. It seemed that the more I learned, the faster I could learn other things. When I experienced something that coincided with another bit of esoteric understanding, I processed it even faster. For instance, since I already knew dirt and stone, I was able to comprehend moss faster and more thoroughly, because I knew where it got its food and energy. The dirt. It used dirt for all sorts of things. Hopefully, building the basics of my knowledge here would allow me to understand greater things in the future.
That is what I'm here for, Cal.
She gracefully accepted my compliment.
Well,
I rumbled gruffly, somewhat embarrassed for an unknown reason.
I'm hungry, and you want to see me eat, so...
Go for it,
she laughed, watching me closely. I reached out for the veritable feast before me and started pulling in energy. Danny watched in amazement the entire time. Pulling from so many different groups of moss, I was again vibrating, much less than before, but still.
Wow. But that corruption is really thick in you. Must be a side effect of pulling from an unattuned source.
Danny gave a frustrated sigh.
Drat! You had such pure essence when I got here.
You mean the waste stuff?
Yeah, I don't like it very much either,
I agreed, spitting the sickly energy back out to rejoin the plant.
No freaking way!
She zoomed in for a closer look, making me feel a bit awkward. Why was she so giddy over me eating?
What?
Without the waste, there was a little more room for food, and I was already eyeing an untouched patch of moss. Curiously, none of the moss had withered this time.
You just got rid of your own corruption? That's not...
She started accusingly.
Possible?
I intentionally interrupted.
Or you've just never seen it before.
I was getting a bit irritated over her telling me what I couldn't do, when it was obviously happening right in front of her. Trying and failing to come up with a good response to this, she conceded the point with a bit of ill grace.
Fair enough,
she mumbled.
Are you already full again?
Well, I mean, I could eat, I declared nonchalantly, licking my mental lips.
Not what I mean, you glutton,
she laughed.
I mean, we just joined. You should be low on power for weeks. If you are already full, that just means good things for the both of us in the future. You can pull power from multiple sources. We should really see what all is doable. But that comes later. First, let's get you an upgrade.
More plants?
Where was she hiding them?
No, an upgrade for you, silly rock. Look, you are a dungeon core. You grow your dungeon around your core by releasing essence in a way unique to dungeons called influence,
she explained, gaining my rapt attention. These were things only dungeons could do? She continued, basking in my undivided attention.
We need to spread your influence about as much as we can. Then, when something is under your influence, you are able to fully understand it. When you fully understand something, you control it absolutely.
She waited for a response.
Go on, I prodded her.
Using the essence you collect, you can directly alter the world that is under your influence. Doing so will drain you a bit, so you need to expand slowly, becoming a bigger and more important dungeon. Eventually, people will discover you and come in to explore you, looking for treasure and ways to make themselves stronger,
she explained, shining brightly in her excitement.
When people come, they bring things in, like weapons, armor, magic, and even animals. Whatever is left in here you can study, absorbing it and gaining the knowledge of how to make it, use it, control it,
she enthused.
Even when people die, you can absorb them, make copies, and reanimate their bodies as zombies, like a necromancer does.
What?
My sudden shout nearly knocked her out of the air. I hate necromancers! I was furious that she would compare me to those animals. I trembled in rage, losing control of the essence in me as I did so. The stalagmite received the brunt of this released essence, growing sharp quartz spikes which quivered in time with the fury ignited in my core.
Cal... Cal, it is okay. I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Her voice calmed me down, the fear in her voice snapping me out of my fury in an indescribable manner.
How do you even know what a necromancer is?
I'm sorry. I really don't know where that came from. I just hate them so much.
I was really confused, and had no idea why her words made me so uncontrollably angry.
It's okay, Cal,
she shakily stated, still quivering slightly.
That actually may be for the best. There is a church that is quite powerful right now that tries very hard to destroy dungeons that have undead or demonic creatures in them. I was just trying to give you a comprehensive idea of what you could do.
What? People try to kill dungeons? Are people going to try to kill me?
I was rather stuck on this point. It seemed somewhat important.
Yes, but don't worry too much. Usually they prefer to have dungeons stay alive as they are very beneficial to the world.
She soothingly tried to appease me by telling stories of the world.
Flora and fauna alike prosper in areas with high essence concentration. Plants can use it instead of good soil and sunlight, and animals become much stronger in the presence of essence.
Why do animals get stronger? Dang it, she was able to distract me so easily.
Animals gain essence from the world mainly just by living their lives, and it makes them stronger over time. Other sentient creatures like humans, elves, dwarves, or even orcs are able to absorb essence during meditation.
She paused to let me fantasize about all the creatures I could eventually eat.
Magical beasts have beast cores similar to your gem that grow inside them from birth. Every type of creature absorbs essence, but can only absorb the type they are suited to, unless they are really strong, which can take over 100 years, roughly. This is why I think you are going to be very popular. The essence you concentrate has no affinity that I can tell. It's just pure essence.
She was still amazed about that fact. Pure essence was unheard of. Even the best cultivators had some taint.
Is that good?
Did people try to kill popular things? Danny snapped out of her reverie.
It means everything can thrive in your area of influence if you let it. Plants, animals, beasts, and creatures of light and shadow.
That is good, though, right? And why are you emphasizing beast when you say it?
It was tickling my thoughts oddly.
Having really pure essence with no affinity should be very good, I think. Heck, wars may be fought over the right to explore here. I am a lucky wisp,
Danny gleefully exclaimed, flying in a spiral pattern.
Also, I am emphasizing it because beasts are different from animals. They have gained awareness and can use essence, becoming far stronger and much more intelligent than their original animalistic counterparts.
This is all so interesting.
Much as I loved learning, I am far more enthusiastic about being able to do things.
So, can we start? How do we start?
Danny launched into another lecture.
Well, we start with an upgrade. Here are a few basics first, though. There are many different levels of essence cultivation. Starting with the lowest, we have G, F, E, D, C, B, A, S, double S, triple S, heavenly, and godly. Each rank has 10 levels within it, the lowest being 0 and the highest at 9. When I got here, you were at G0, which is basic life with only the instinct to eat.
She chuckled at that. I had progressed far in intelligence since then.
After making the deal with me, you moved to G rank 1, which opens the way for more complex actions and thought. You have enough power already to move to G rank 2, which lets you begin to grow your power and use your own influence intentionally.
Intentionally?
Was she being condescending again?
Remember those spikes poking out of you? Can you do that without being really mad?
Yep, definitely being condescending. I tried, but couldn't make anything happen.
Nope. Where did those come from anyway?
There was no quartz there earlier. I looked at the reflective quartz poking out of the stone.
You made it with your essence. If you have absorbed it in the past, you can make it with your essence. Another ability unique to dungeons.
She showed off her knowledge once again.
Wow! How do I make things, pretty lady?
I wheedled her.
Upgrade first.
She was firm on that point. Well, poo. I thought flattery would do it.
So, how do I upgrade?
She seemed appreciative of my work ethic.
Get as full of energy as you can, then I'll guide you through the process.
Following her instructions, I cultivated and ate, no, I refined, the plant's energy until I was shaking dangerously again.
Danny, help!
I began worriedly.
It's okay, Cal. Focus on your crystal. Do you feel the flaws in the gem? There are a few perfect parts where your facets are smooth and sharp, without cracks or discoloration.
Danny quickly and calmly coaxed me.
Feel those. Find how it is that they bind perfectly, whereas the other spots are rough or malformed. Now smooth those bad patches so that they are correctly formed. Try to make your core as flawless as possible. Focus now, but don't rush it.
It was amazing. As she guided me, I could feel exactly what she meant and suddenly perfectly understood the body I was now in. Why had I never tried to understand myself before? I guess it was just not something a normal mind would do. The basic structure of my core consisted of carbon, but was reinforced by the essence that I had refined to its most pure form. Only the center of my core was truly perfect, and I could see that my mind resided within, in that perfect structure. From this perfect facet, I got the blueprints of how my core needed to be restructured and started applying pressure to the poorly formed outer carbon bonds.
Careful now. Not all at once, or you may shatter yourself,
Danny murmured, trying not to break my focus.
Click!
A small patch of perfectly bonded carbon molecules formed.
Click, click!
As I became used to the process, I was able to accomplish the task faster, letting me make more connections, faster and faster, until with a jolt I found there were no more poorly formed areas. A good thing, too, as my light had dimmed enough to nearly extinguish. My mind, losing the single-track intensity that had propelled me to this stage, nearly broke under the exhaustion I now felt.
Cal? Are you awake yet? Cal?
Danny desperately begged, voice hoarse and weak.
What's wrong?
I grouched sleepily. That was new. Can I sleep?
You need to absorb essence. Please, hurry,
she pleaded, her light dimming as well. Her words barely registered in my mind, my thoughts moving at a glacial speed. I was hungry. I reached for the moss, and as per usual, it eagerly flowed toward me as well. I started eating, and as I did, I only got hungrier, the input of essence awakening my unquenchable gluttony. Greedily reaching for more moss, I pulled more and more energy from the entire patch of moss until dying moss started to emit blasts of energy, which shot into me. I stopped pulling essence and looked nervously at where it came from. As I suspected, a small patch of moss withered away, crumbling to dust as I watched. I finished refining what I had and realized that while this amount of energy would have killed me before I fixed my facets, now it was barely satiating my hunger. I turned my attention to Danny, who was beginning to glow again.
What happened? I prodded her.
That was a bad idea. She woke up angry.
You nearly killed us both is what happened!
Her glow flashing to a deep crimson with fury.
You altered your basic structure until completion without even stopping to recover. I had to close our connection just to stop from draining the last bits of essence from you and nearly starved to death myself because you gained enough energy for me to safely take some. Do you have any idea how horrible of a death dying from lack of essence is?
I tried to defend my actions, but I was only doing what you told me to do.
I told you not to rush!
Her anger fading, her body slowly returning to her regular coloration.
Are you okay? Did you hurt yourself?
I'm fine, I cautiously stated. Hungry, but fine, I amended.
Good.
She blew out a breath.
Cal, you really need to have some self-preservation skills.
I'll do better. I'm sorry. I was ashamed.
Don't be sorry. Be smart. If you die, so do I. We need you to be the smartest dungeon that exists because we need each other.
She exploded, obviously still mad for some reason.
I said I am sorry. I'll do better.
I promised her vigorously.
Good. You'd better. Well, let's take a look at you.
She flew closer to me, examining me for any flaw or defect. After a short time, she pronounced her assessment.
Cal, you are the most perfect diamond I have ever seen.
I'm not a diamond. I'm a dungeon core, I reminded her. Was she still groggy from sleep?
Well, you look like a flawless diamond. When you get full of energy, it'll be nearly impossible to break you, I bet.
Her abrupt reversal of attitude threw me off, but her words were really nice. A pink glow joined my normal blue as I blushed from her praise. Interesting. It seemed my emotions can alter my coloration for a moment or two. You think I did a good job? I tried for another compliment. She granted my desire.
A very good job.
Then, my new favorite thing to hear.
Well, let's get some food, shall we?
I would love to, but I think I took everything I could from the moss over there. It started dying. I felt a bit embarrassed about killing off my only good source of food. She examined the withered moss and nodded.
True, but why didn't you finish the rest of it off?
She never ceased to surprise me. Then I wouldn't be able to get more from it when it recovered, I explained carefully.
Well, I thought you were just a glutton, but you keep throwing me for a loop.
She flew to me and tested the energy flows I was emitting.
I think I was wrong earlier. You must have been a G-rank 3 core. Just with so many flaws, your energy came out scattered and weak. You have the cultivation base of a G-rank 4 now, and this allows you to have forethought. It's okay, Cal. Try and finish off the moss there and take in its life energy. It is the remaining cultivation base of the moss, the densest concentration, so it will give slightly more energy than it does normally.
But then the moss will be gone, I forlornly reminded her.
We will grow more. Just eat it already.
Yikes. I didn't want to make her angry again. Okay, then. I waited a moment. Be nicer, I grumbled at Danny. Then I started pulling in the essence, this time watching what happened to the moss. As I took more energy, it started wilting and becoming desiccated, like it had gone too long without water. I could tell the moment each strand died, and I was assaulted with a burst of condensed essence each time it happened. As each strand died, I grew more satiated, but when the last bit had crumbled, I was still not even a quarter full, and this was before I purified it and got rid of the waste, which was usually a sizable portion of the energy. When I finished cultivating and refining, removing the waste, I was about 1/8 full. I can't believe how much more energy I can take! This is amazing! I felt incredible, strong, and powerful. That is not how I responded to her next question, though.
How do you feel?
She was testing the waters, looking at my cultivation. I responded as honestly as possible.
Hungry.
Why am I not surprised, you hog?
She admonished flatly.
I think it is time for you to try and use your essence. I want you to move the entire stalagmite you are on as far toward that cave as you can go. You are too exposed here. Your core should be insanely difficult to get to. Right now, anything could swoop in and grab you.
How do I move? I was excited, ready to learn a new skill.
You reach into the area around you and tell it to move. Only you can really know what it will take, so if I can do anything for you, let me know.
Well, that was rather unhelpful advice. I'll try. I reached into the stone around me and eventually found what I needed in order to make it move. With horribly loud screeching, the entire stone area that was filled with my influence tore itself out of the ground and began jerkily moving toward the hole in the wall.
Whoa! I shouted, stopping my momentum.
That's normal. If you left this area behind, you would lose a lot of your power. Everything filled with your essence is in reality your body, and you are the heart, the soul. You can never willingly move your heart from your body, but you can reposition it. That is how dungeons grow and evolve,
Danny explained courteously, then told me to hurry up. Moving my form through the opening in the rock wall, I yanked my whole mass as far through the cave as I could. After hours, I finally reached a wall and could go no further. I settled to the floor with great relief.
How is your essence doing? Did you use too much?
Queried Danny, fluttering about the cave, exploring its depths.
Pretty good. That really didn't take too much essence. How far did we go? A mile? Two?
I was so ready for a nap. Too bad I couldn't sleep.
Close!
She sounded off brightly.
We got about 40 feet or so before you hit a wall.
What? But my body...
But that took hours! I whined at her.
I forgot that you can just barely see past your influence. How big do you think your body is?
She was leading the conversation somewhere.
30 yards or so?
I pleaded to her, joking weakly. She dashed my hopes immediately.
Your stalagmite is about 2 feet tall, and the ground you have at the base is about 5 feet in diameter. A bit lopsided where the moss was, because I helped you grow there.
I was flabbergasted.
And me?
Well, you were a bit larger when you were a flawed gem.
She paused, dangling the information just out of reach.
But now you are the size of a 1-carat diamond. So about 6.5 millimeters?
That's it? Is that small? What unit of measurement is that? I had so many questions.
Yep, that's it. Stop being a narcissist. You can't worry about things you can't control. You have too much work to do if you want to become a big, strong dungeon. And you can start by spreading your influence.
She was ignoring my questions again.
I'm not a narcissist, I think. What's a narcissist? How do I spread influence?
Remember how I made all that essence turn into a mist and spread it around?
She reminded me.
I need you to do the same thing, but with your accumulated essence. Concentrate hard on making the surroundings... you.
Danny finished lamely.
Sure, why not?
How much essence should I use?
Keep going until I tell you to stop, or until you reach those mushrooms,
she directed, settling onto a gray stone outcropping to watch my progress. Why was she being so unhelpful? What's a mushroom?
You'll know it when you find it,
she sing-sang in a know-it-all voice.
Danny, just fine.
I tried doing as she told me. Nothing happened at first. But after a bit of trial and error, a fine mist, more like water vapor, began emanating from my puddle. The vapor went where I told it to, clinging to anything it touched, unless some vapor had made it there previously. This vapor was true essence, but I knew somehow that I could not reabsorb this. Is this what other people would come here to cultivate? Luckily for me, the amount of essence I used to create the vapor, my influence, was minuscule.
I'm doing it!
Soon, I was at the edge of my territory and began forcing the vapor to expand outward, gaining vision and knowledge with every fraction of an inch.
Hey! Go up and down, too!
Danny demanded, twitching up off her rockin' inch to look at my apparently shoddy work.
The floor and ceiling? Why? There was so much to look at. I really did not want to waste time on empty space.
Those need to be permeated with your essence most of all.
Ugh. Why couldn't she just tell me why?
I sighed with frustration. She hadn't steered me wrong yet, I guess. I reached as high as I could go, and coated the ceiling and floor, then kept doing what I could to fill the chamber. Quickly, I found that I had tripled my range of influence and was just starting to get worried about the amount of essence I had remaining when I found... mushrooms. As I learned everything about this type of mushroom, I tasted it for the first time. It was made of a mixture of plant and earth essence, and both types of essence were more abundant than either the rocks or the moss had been able to contain or give me. While it was more difficult to take the essence from the mushrooms than the moss had been,
it was still far easier than the stone, and so I began to eat. Cultivate. Whatever. The flavor was reminiscent of sweet salad leaves dipped in the rich chocolate that is the earth.